This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim. 7:37 a.m, Monday the 2nd of November. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having The Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking with Hervé Lemayeux, Director, and Alyssa Leng, a Research Associate, both of the Asian Policy Program at the Lowy Institute. Because amidst the geopolitical tussle for dominance between the US and China, the question is, how are Asian nations positioning themselves and what's the distribution of power among them? The annual Asia Power Index by the Lowy Institute aims to chart the development of the relative power of states in the region. So we're going to be speaking with the researchers behind the 2020 iteration for insights into how US-China tensions, COVID-19 and climate change are shaping Asian power dynamics. Stay tuned for that after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. But in the meantime, we're taking a look at the oil and gas sector, where last week oil prices hit their lowest point since May, with Brent crude dipping below $37 per barrel.
As we are seeing parts of Europe see the return of COVID-19 restrictions that were the staple earlier this year. And just yesterday, we know England announced a month-long partial lockdown, and other countries such as Austria, France, Portugal, Belgium, they've all renewed movement restrictions to combat the spread of this virus.
Yeah, Brent crude has been trading steadily between $40 to $45 a barrel for much of the summer, or at least the last few months, from our opinion. And as the OPEC Plus group cut production and economies reopened, there is a serious concern that this recovery will be reversed now as we see, lockdowns come back into effect. The price of oil is especially important for us in Malaysia to watch, as our national budget is predicted on a target oil price. And budget 2020 was based on an assumption of oil prices averaging around $62 per barrel. And this has been shattered because of 2019. And this week, we will see budget 2021 being tabled. Let's see what kind of range we have there as well.
So for some thoughts on where oil prices are heading, we're speaking this morning to Yong Liang Po, a consultant with the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis. Thanks for joining us this morning, Yong. Now, we're seeing countries in Europe reimposing restriction measures as a result of the spike in COVID-19 cases. Could we see oil drop to the depths it did back in March and April?
Hi, morning. Obviously, this is bad news for oil prices. But I don't think that we will fall back to the lows that we saw in March and April. The reason is that the lockdowns this time, they're only happening in Northern Europe. And Europe is about 20% of global oil demand. And then the demand will fall by about 5%, we think, because of the lockdowns. Contrast that to early part of this year when there was a global lockdown. And then I think that was when, the whole world saw big fall in oil demand. So difference is this time the decrease is it's going to be a smaller decrease. And I think also this time around, people know how to handle the disease better. So I think there's room for optimism that the lockdowns will not last as long as it did previously. And I think the third reason is that in March and April as well, there was a oil price war going on. And for a very brief period of time, Saudi Arabia and Russia were overproducing. And this time OPEC has curtailed production already. So the oversupply will not be as severe as it was, but I think obviously there's still some downdrafts ahead.
How much buffer can China provide?
So the buffer, that's what I talked about, was the good news. The bad news is that, for China, what happened was that in the early part of this year, they did a lot of stockpiling. So the inventories in China now are brimming. The good news, of course, is that Chinese demand is more or less back to normal. But the bad news is that they're not adding any more additional inventories. So that is one demand source that isn't coming back.
And what does how much of oil does China consume, Yong? You said that Europe was about 20%. What is China's take?
China is 13%. Right, and it's been growing very steadily at about 4 to 5% a year.
Okay, and what other headwinds then could influence oil prices in the last quarter of the year? I think this is something we are eagerly paying attention to.
So normally in the fourth quarter of the year, it's a seasonally slower time because a lot of the driving activity slows down. So normally that is balanced by higher heating requirements. So many households in Europe and in the US, they still burn heating kerosene for heating purposes. So that one will depend on how severe the winter is. And I think OPEC is praying very hard for a cold winter.
And what about the role of aviation when it comes to oil, right? Because aviation does take up a big amount of oil consumption.
Yeah, aviation is almost 10% of oil demand. So that, I think, is not coming back anytime soon, unfortunately. And I think these lockdowns, I don't think it really affects the picture very much, because the aviation demand never really came back in a meaningful way. And at least in US, the aviation demand is, you know, even with all the cases going up, still seems to be steadily climbing upwards. So we don't see very much of a negative or positive impact coming from aviation.
But what about looking forward to the outcome of the US elections then, Yong? You know, how would that outcome affect oil prices in the short term?
Okay, so I think that's very interesting. I think that right now, the question of oil price will be determined by the demand, whether demand improves. And so whether demand improves depends on how well, we contain the COVID virus. So I think that if we get a continuation of the current, administration, where the cases continue to rise and rise and rise, then I think there will continue to be lack of confidence in the economy, and the demand will find it very hard to recover. If we get a successful containment effort, hopefully with better policies, then I think that there's a better chance of oil prices going up. So I think Tuesday is going to be a very interesting day.
I mean, conventionally thinking about this as a Trump win seems to favor the oil and gas sector, but do you necessarily agree with that view, especially in the short to medium term?
So actually, when you say favoring the oil and gas sector, he's actually encouraging the oil companies to produce more shale oil. And that is actually going to be a negative factor for oil prices. Whereas the Democratic candidate, I think that he is emphasizing more renewable energy. So it'll be less supportive of the oil industry, which means that in the short term, short to medium term at least, you won't see as much US oil production coming out. So quite perversely, it might actually be better for oil prices.
A simple demand supply there, I guess, Yong, right? But looking at the recent results of major oil and gas players recently, what trends can you draw from the earnings reports, and which companies do you think are dealing better with the fallout of the pandemic?
So I think, this is obviously the most unique situation that's faced the industry. So some companies such as BP and Shell, they've already taken very big write-downs in the first half of this year. And they've already made very clear plans to transition away from fossil fuels. So companies like that, you can clearly see that, okay, they have a plan. They've executed the plan. They've accepted reality. They're planning for the future. So companies like that, I think, are in a good position. High-cost oil producers, such as Exxon and PetroChina, for example, they haven't taken the big write-downs. They're still very dependent on oil prices. And their costs are relatively high compared to the industry. So there's more bad news still to come from companies who have, more or less stuck their head into the sand. And of course, you have companies who are more focused on chemicals and refining, and they are doing relatively better as well.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Yong. That was Yong Liang Po, consultant with the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis, giving us some insight into the oil and gas industry. And I think right now, as with many other industries, it's adapt to survive in this kind of environment, right? So as he pointed out, some of these high-cost producers that have stuck their head into the sand might not be such good times ahead for them.
Yeah, so I always thought that Trump was very in favor of the oil and gas players, but it's from our conversation with Yong, he's saying that Trump is very into shale, and that would not be good for the oil for oil supply in future. And similarly for Biden, on the other hand, he's interested in clean energy, and there'll be a lower supply of oil in the long term from the US, and it may be better for oil prices globally.
Yeah, and essentially, if we see more, it's because of the supply that we have. I think before this, the demand supply was 100 million barrels a day. Now it's a lot less than it was. I think 30% down over the last few months. Seeing how each will impact the price of oil going forward, mm-hmm. again, very important to our country's own bottom line and how we factor that into Budget 2021.
Absolutely. And Budget 2021 coming out this Friday, all eyes on it. And we'll be bringing you updates as we get them ourselves. But right now, we're about to head into some messages. And then up next, we're speaking with Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, Research Fellow at the Ilkham Centre, on what's going on in Malaysian politics. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.